All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the time again that we have in your word, and I pray that you just give us grace as we go through this today. We're almost done with Genesis, and I pray that you'd help us to just learn and grow from all that goes on in the life of Joseph. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, Deborah has her baby Friday at noon, I think. Deborah, my daughter. She went in last week because the baby's sideways, and they tried to turn the baby, and the baby said, no. So, rebellion, I talked about that. So she has to have a C-section on Friday. It already is a little boy. It's not going to be one. A little boy. She said the little tyke isn't going to want to turn, so, okay. So, she's got it, yeah. Is that right? There you go, I'll let her know. Just double trouble. There you go.
How many kids does she have?
She has one in heaven. She lost one last year.
Oh, yeah.
So they're all excited. She's walking around. So Friday, we're all excited too, though. I think we're more excited than she is at this point. Come on, have that baby, bring it over. Come on, what are you waiting for? So the baby's getting spoiled at our house. So you bring your kids over. It's like, hey, thanks for bringing the grandkids over. Feel free to stay if you want. You know, the grandkids, the kids call each other siblings, and they call the grandkids nibblings. So the nibblings are over. Okay. All right. Look at your notes here. We have 22 verses, plus the top paragraph is just setting the context. This won't take super long today. So it worked out pretty well for us, especially since we're talking about food and family and Ben being sideways in the womb for some reason. But look at that top paragraph. This is Jacob blesses Joseph's sons. And you're like thinking, why do we need to even cover this? I'll tell you why in a little bit here, okay? Making sure I'm wired again. I forgot if I did it. I'll read that top paragraph. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. So how old is Jacob? 147. Okay, just making sure you're awake. When the time drew near that Israel must die, and again, it uses Jacob and Israel interchangeably because God gave Jacob a new name, Israel. Israel must die. He called his son Joseph and said to him, now he calls the one that he felt was the most responsible, I think, of all of them, even though he's number 11 in the pile. Actually, number 12 if you count Dinah, right? He says this to Joseph, now if I have found favor in your sight, please put your hand under my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Please do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. You shall carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. And he said, I will do as you said. Then he said, swear to me. And he swore to him. So Israel bowed himself on the head of the bed. So that's where we left off last week. Okay. So here's verse 1 of Genesis 48. By the way, there's only 50 chapters in Genesis. We only have two more weeks. The other classes, because they're doing last week's today, have three more weeks, okay? In Genesis. Now, it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed, your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat on the bed. And again, there it is. Jacob said, and then Israel did. I don't understand why they jump back and forth, but they do. So Joseph is coming, so he kind of pulls himself back up on the bed. He's old, close to death, right? But he pulls himself up on the bed. So, number one is Joseph visits his sick father. Kind of just stating a fact here at this point. Verse 3 and 4 here. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. So Jacob reviews God's promises. And what were those promises? By the way, they were also given to Abraham and Isaac. And I'm going to put letters up here and see if you can... Three promises, generally speaking, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Land.
Seed. What? Say it louder.
Seed.
Blessing. Okay? And he says this, God appeared to me, he blessed me, and he said, I'll make you, multiply you. And by the way, he didn't see that as a threat. He saw that as a good thing, right? And make you a great number. And I give you this land. So it kind of goes backwards in this chapter. So he said, God blessed me, and he said, I'll multiply you, and I'll give you this land for an eternal possession. So he just reviews the promises that God has given to him. So Jacob is still there, focusing on what God has promised. Okay, it hasn't completely come to pass yet. It certainly has started, but it hasn't fully come to pass yet. Now, verse 5 and verse 6. And now your two sons. Jacob seems to be sensitive to the fact of what happened to Joseph. Remember, 20-some years away from his son. He's cognizant of how his other sons treated Joseph, and he seems to want to make it right. And it doesn't say why, but that's my theory anyway. He wants to do something extra special for Joseph because of maybe all that happened to him. He says, and now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. What is Jacob saying?
I don't know. I have a hard time keeping up with who were born to you, and
okay. Yeah, okay, check it out here. Ephraim and Manasseh are Joseph's sons, born in Egypt. But now Jacob says, are mine. They are mine. So what is he saying? What would we call that today? Well, they're already his grandchildren, but he's changing the relationship now. He's making them equal to his sons, if you read it. So I would call this, in a sense, and these are my words, but functionally, Jacob adopts Joseph's two sons as his sons. Rather than, in other words, as Jim said, that he's making him equal with their sons as far as the inheritance is concerned. So let me continue. As Reuben and Simeon, which are his two oldest sons, they shall be mine. So he's making them equal. So in a sense, it's like adopting them. Instead of making their grandchildren, now they're going to be equal to my sons. Just like Reuben and Simeon, the oldest two, they will be equal with them. Your offspring whom you beget after them shall be yours. So if you have any more kids, they'll be equal with the grandkids. But the first two, Ephraim and Manasseh, they're going to be my sons effectively with regard to inheritance and all of that. Okay? But all of the rest, if you have more kids, this isn't counting for them. It's just for your first two. Right? So they will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. So, in other words, here's Ephraim and Manasseh. And here's Joseph. and here's Jacob. They're descended from him. He's descended from there. But Jacob is saying, now I'm going to assume fatherhood status to them for the inheritance issue. Okay? Jacob's getting ready to die. He's not talking about, I'm not going to take him fishing and swimming. You know, it has to do with inheritance. And then if Joseph has any other kids, that doesn't apply. Okay? So it's just Ephraim and Manasseh. If Joseph has 100 more children, it doesn't matter. If he has one more children, they're considered grandkids like they would normally be considered. It's just Ephraim and Manasseh, okay? Kind of confusing, but it makes a big deal later on, okay? Throughout the rest of the Old Testament. That's why it's important to cover this. Now, verse 7, it says, but as for me, Jacob's talking about himself again, but as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Now, why does he say this? Jacob recalls Rachel's death. Who is Rachel?
Joseph's mother.
She died. Joseph grew up without a mom to a large degree, because when Benjamin was born, that's when she died, right? He was 17 years old, or I don't know, 14 years old or something like that. But I'm saying still, that was it. All he had was Benjamin, and he was sold away, Joseph was, so he didn't get to see Benjamin all his 23 years away from home. So he basically was a man without a family as well as a country. Okay? And this seems to be maybe a reason to some degree for this, or at least reflecting on the kind of saying, hey, I just want to know that that I remember your mom. I don't know if that's maybe what that's about. Okay? And I buried her there maybe as a reminder of where she's at in case you want to go visit or whatever. But it doesn't really seem to factor beyond that unless it's kind of explaining this, but it doesn't really say, okay, that it's explaining the adoption or not of his sons. Anyway, then he goes on to say, verse 8, then Israel saw Joseph's sons. Remember, Joseph brought his sons with him and said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. So all I'm saying here is I'm following along here. The chronology is he sees, his eyesight's very poor, it says too. So, you know, he's not able to recognize. So when he says, who are these? It's because he can't see well. Not that he's never seen them before. Because he's been in the land how long? 17 years, right? So that it's not that he hasn't seen them before. He just can't recognize them. So you have to tell me. Okay, his eyesight's that poor. Now look at verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. That explains a little of why he says, who are these? He probably sees forms, but he can't see faces. And then Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. Because he just said, please bring them here so that I can what? Bless them. Okay? So he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face. But in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Jacob revels in God's goodness. Now, I honestly think he's seen him before. He's just reminiscing more. I can't imagine he hasn't seen his grandsons all 17 years he's been in there. I think he's reminiscing. Who was it? Maybe it was when my wife's folks were here. We were talking about the Lord coming and different things like that. And I remember in ninth grade talking to a friend, and I said, it's too bad we'll never get married, because we thought the Lord would come again, you know, before we ever saw adulthood, you know. And here I am talking to my in-laws with 15 kids and effectively, you know, 20 grandkids, counting all the ones in heaven and stuff. And you know, that's kind of the reminiscing thing. It's amazing what God has done. So that, to me, is what he's talking about here. He's just looking back, and he's seen Joseph for 17 years now, and he's seen his sons, but he's reminiscing what God, how good God has been, that I not only got to see my son, and he thought he was going to die then, but 17 years later, he's still seeing his son, and he still sees his grandsons. Okay? No. Since they've been there, he got there when he was 130. He's now 147. So there's 17 years that he's been in Egypt. So I'm saying during this time, I believe that he's seen that Joseph and his sons many times, but he's just reminiscing and reveling in what God has allowed all of this to happen in those 17 years. He got to see Joseph, but not only did he get to see Joseph, he got to see Joseph's sons. I don't believe it's the first time he saw Joseph's sons. He's just, you know, kind of categorizing. I got to see you, and I got to see your sons even. So God's in that good. But it's during the 17 years that he's been in Egypt is what we're talking about. Now look at verse 12. This is interesting. It's to the left of number 7. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees. Now, unless you read into this some, they were born before Jacob got to Egypt. He just said that. So don't think 4 and 3 year olds by his knees. These guys are teenagers or early 20s. Okay? Because Jacob's been there 17 years, and both Manasseh and Ephraim were born before Jacob came to Egypt. He just said that. So a lot of times you're thinking little kids, but the timeline doesn't allow it for little kids. So beside his knees, don't think, oh, pat. It's just beside his knees must be either they were down on the floor in honor to their grandfather, which might seem funny in our culture, but not in their culture. You know, you sit down because your grandfather is sitting and he's barely holding himself up on the bed. You don't stand up and look down at him. You get down on the ground or whatever. But notice what Joseph does too. Joseph brought them from beside his knees, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. Who is Joseph?
Almost the Pharaoh.
He is second in command, and yet he bows down to his father. And we talked about this whole submission thing this morning, and that's what we're talking about. Here's a son that knows how to respect his father. Does he outrank him? In every way possible, except he's still his father. Does that make sense? In every way, he outranks his dad, but his dad is still his father. So what does he do? He bows down to his father. So I call it honors. He's honoring his father. He's not saying, Dad, you did everything perfect as a dad. He's not saying that. He's not saying, he's acknowledging that you're my dad. And I'm honoring you for that. Okay? So, as second in command of Egypt, this guy has enough humility to honor his dad by bowing down before his dad. Okay? Pretty amazing. And again, was Jacob perfect? No. He kind of is the one that got Joseph in trouble, really, because he was favoring him, remember? It has nothing to do with that. Our dads are imperfect, right? Except for when you have kids, then it won't be that way. But, you know, but our dads are imperfect. It has nothing to do with respecting your father. Nothing to do with submitting to your father. Because that's the idea. You're not acknowledging his perfection. You're acknowledging his position and your responsibility to him. Okay? Before God. Now this gets interesting here. Verse 13. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim, right, with his right hand towards Israel's left. So, and then Manasseh with his left toward Israel's right hand. What's he trying to do? Now this, it's hard for us in our culture, but what's he trying to do? Right hand is the preeminent hand. You're the man of my right hand. You know, you're the highest rank. Okay, so the right hand is significant in the blessing because that's the greater blessing. To us, what? To them, that makes sense. So that's why Joseph is very careful. I'm Jacob right now, and Joseph walks up and he makes sure the oldest Manasseh is before Grandpa's right hand, and Ephraim is before Grandpa's left hand. Because Manasseh's older, Ephraim's younger, and that's the way it should be. Got it? So far, so good? And brought them near to him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and left his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So what did he do? Here's Jacob now. Watch this. He crosses his hands. Right? Manasseh's in front of his right hand. Ephraim's in front of his left hand. But Jacob knowingly takes his right hand, puts it on Manasseh, and takes his left hand, or his right hand, puts it on Ephraim, and takes his left hand and puts it on Manasseh, the older. Now, somewhere along the way, Joseph wasn't paying attention, or maybe his eyes are closed because it's a solemn moment or whatever. But then Jacob blesses them this way. Okay? So number 8, Jacob places his hands on the son, but notice he crosses his arms. And you're saying, like, what? And I honestly don't know if he saw something. Like I said, I think he's spent 17 years with him. But maybe he saw something in Ephraim versus Manasseh that he felt Ephraim, even though he's the first, or Manasseh was the firstborn, and just, you know, functionally had the highest honor coming to him just because he was the firstborn. He felt that Ephraim needed it. It doesn't really explain his logic. Okay? It's just that he knew what he was doing. So then verse 15, and he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, so his hands are on the sons, and he says to Joseph, God, who, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. Wow, he was really appreciative of God in every way, shape, or form. Bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them. So he's formalizing what he said about the adoption. Let my name be upon them. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. So Jacob blesses, even though he's talking to Joseph, it appears, he blesses the lads, the sons, okay? Now, how Joseph didn't recognize the hands being crossed, like I said, is his eyes closed, he bowed down or whatever, and then he opens his eyes and he sees his dad doing this, the crossed arm thing, okay? So then, what does Joseph do? Now, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, for he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Your right hand, put your right hand on his head." So Joseph corrects his father, and he's not doing it out of arrogance or rebellion. I think he thinks his dad just made a mistake. No, 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 no. Remember, he's the older one. Okay? You're old, you don't remember, maybe. He's the older one. Now, verse 19. But his father, what? refused. He did this knowingly, right? I know, my son. I know. He also shall become a people. Manasseh will also become a people. And he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. You might want to underline that part. His younger brother shall be greater than he. And his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. You might want to underline all the way along there. Ephraim is going to be huge. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, now notice what he says, may God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. So he said, there'll come a day when people will say, may you be blessed. May you grow and prosper in number like God has prospered Ephraim and Manasseh. That will be a blessing among people. But Ephraim is stated first, not Manasseh. It's both, but Ephraim is first. Okay, as the younger child, he's going to really grow. Remember, he's got the blessing, if you will. He's, instead of being considered a grandchild, he's considered a child of Jacob now. And if you will, it's kind of like an inheritance, and I'm not talking just money, but it's kind of like, as things disperse and go down, the blessing diminishes maybe or something. Well, they're getting a full generation more a blessing than the ones below them, in a sense. Okay? So 11, Jacob affirms Ephraim's blessing. Even though Manasseh is still blessed, Ephraim is even more blessed, and he will become huge. He'll become he will be greater than Manasseh, and he'll become a multitude of nations. Now, verse 21. Let's stop here just a second here. How many tribes are in Israel? Yes. Yes. 13 is correct. 12 is correct. Why? Reuben, I'm going to not be able to list all these. These are not in order. Who? Okay, I'm going to do the easy ones. You can do the hard ones. Who else? Who are we missing? We have Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Dan, Gad, Joseph, Benjamin, Zebulun, Naphtali, Levi. By the way, they're all listed in Genesis 49 because Jacob goes through and blesses them all. We're going to talk about that next week. So I'm going to cheat and figure out which one we're missing here. We got Gad. Who? Asher. There you go. Okay, so there's the 12, right? The 12 sons of Jacob. Now, there's two things that make up. When you talk about the 12 tribes, sometimes you're talking about these. Other times you're talking about all of these with Ephraim. Since they were adopted, they have equal share, if you will. In fact, when they divide the land, Ephraim and Manasseh are mentioned. Who doesn't get any land? So, if you take Levi out, there's still 12. But technically, there's 13, right? If you count Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's getting two parts. So, Joseph Ephraim, Joseph Manasseh, okay? And Levi doesn't get any land. So, the 12 tribes that took the land were Ephraim and Manasseh, not Levi. Levi got cities and common lands around all throughout the Israel, okay? So, who are you talking about here? But listen, Eventually, Solomon's son Rehoboam split the kingdom. You remember that? He made an unwise choice. So many tribes left the kingdom. How many?
10.
10, right? The 10 northern tribes. 10 tribes. And so that left how many?
Two.
Again, Levi is mixed in all of these, right? Two tribes. The northern tribes became known by their largest tribe. So this you'll see throughout all of the Old Testament. So the 10 tribes became known as Ephraim of all things. So this, I'm covering all of this so you know that. When you're reading your Bible, it says Ephraim, and what is the southern tribes are became known as the largest tribe of the two of the south? Judah. So when you hear the prophets talking against Ephraim or Judah, they're not talking just about the tribe of Ephraim. They're talking about Ephraim representing the 10 tribes of the north. And when they talk about Judah, they're not talking about just Judah. They're talking about Judah and Benjamin, and technically a little bit of Simeon, as I understand it. So oftentimes you see the Bible talking to Ephraim and Judah. And he basically is saying the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. The nation Israel as it's split into two parts. Okay? So Ephraim gets that from this lesson. So even though he's a grandson of Jacob, he's adopted as an equal son, and he ends up becoming the greatest tribe of the north. And so all 10 tribes become known as Ephraim as a summary statement. That doesn't mean the tribes quit existing, but you just talk about the biggest one and the rest, you know who you're talking about then. Okay? So when you're reading through the Bible, woe unto you, Ephraim. You know, it's like, oh, Ephraim is who? The 10 tribes, not the tribe. And Ephraim and Judah, oh, the 10 northern and the 2 southern, they're talking about that. Okay? Or when they say Judah as a location, it's usually talking about the southern kingdom, not one tribe of the southern kingdom. And they get carried off into captivity. 722 BC, these get carried off into captivity. 586 BC, the prophets all talk to Ephraim or Judah. Okay? So an FYI there. 17 bad kings in the north, 15 kings. I think there's only two or three good ones in the south. Maybe 5 good ones, I guess, in the south. All right, so we have 11. Number 21 now, verse 21. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. So he foretells the return. Okay? And by the way, Joseph will refer to this when he dies, much younger than his father, by the way. Remember, the age declined after the flood. He tells his brothers, when you go to Egypt, or when you leave Egypt, like God has promised, take my bones with you. He's still counting on Israel leaving. He knows that'll happen. Okay? So he says, behold, I'm dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Lastly, verse 22, moreover, this seems to be almost an appendage. Moreover, I have given you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So I don't really know much about that. I don't even know if the Bible talks any more about it. But he gives Joseph an extra portion. Maybe because of what Joseph went through, or because of what Joseph did in delivering his family from famine. But it gives him some piece of land, apparently back in Israel, that's his over and above his brothers. Even though the land hasn't been farmed out yet, and it won't be for another 400 years, give or take. Joseph gets a piece of land, his descendants, that is different than his brothers. So, okay, so we kind of told you all of this to tell you about Ephraim, because Ephraim's a big deal in the Bible. And that's where he got his start. That's where the two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh, remember when they took the land of Israel, there's a half tribe of Manasseh. That half of the tribe stayed on the east side of the Jordan, and half tribe stayed on the left west side of Jordan. That's where they came from, okay? Questions, comments? It's a different kind of lesson, but it's important to understand for the rest of the Bible to make sense to you, especially the Old Testament. Joseph was from his own tribe, if that makes sense. And then Jacob split, adopted them, so then they kind of, both Ephraim and Manasseh took Joseph's place. So there's no tribe of Joseph, because Ephraim and Manasseh are now their own tribes, because they're adopted and become equal really with their father. So instead of there being a tribe of Joseph, there's actually two tribes of Joseph, if that makes sense. And they said if Joseph had any more kids, they would be named after their brothers. So they would fall underneath Ephraim or Manasseh on that. So there's no tribe of Joseph per se. But they are one of the, each one of Ephraim and Manasseh are two of the 12 tribes that inherit the land. But they're, you know, it's just kind of confusing. But you see, depending on what, like there's 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. Guess what? They aren't Ephraim and Manasseh. They're named after the 12 sons of Jacob, one of which is Levi. There's a gate of Levi, okay? So it really, you have to kind of ask yourself, which 12 are we talking about? Okay? Are we talking about the land 12, or are we talking about the sons 12? So a little bit confusing there, but we had to kind of know who Ephraim was. And when you see Ephraim, it's the 10 tribes usually when it gets to talking about it. And oftentimes the Bible says Ephraim and Judah both. And it's talking about all the tribes of Israel, but how they're split up politically between 10 tribes and 2 tribes. So very, very important as far as Bible study goes. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fellowship we have in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you can help us kind of sort out the different names and the different happenings in the Bible. And I pray that you would just, again, just add to our knowledge so that we can better understand your word and better follow you as your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.